I'm just getting started.
He talked about four things.
He talked about why people hate me, the media, and my favorite producers.
I was trying to be conservative with your time because you're a busy man. You want to keep going?
Yeah. Okay. I thought we had like another hour left.
Shit. All right.
Let's go. Come on.
All right. So we're going
to came all the way out to LA to talk to you about fucking three things.
We're going to transition into a silly note. You guys are going to laugh because.
Good.
You mentioned. Oh, Russ is an asshole. Da, da, da.
Yes.
But you do have a song.
Called Asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of Russ Kanye parallels, but.
Yeah.
You.
The inspiration for that was Runaway.
Perfect segue.
Yeah. All
right.
Yeah.
In your opinion.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between a douchebag.
Sure.
An asshole. A scumbag.
Jerk off?
And a jerk off.
No.
No?
No, I mean, a douchebag is like, you're just fucking annoying and you're fucking just making me, my blood boil. Asshole is like, asshole gets kind of a bad rap because if I walk into a room and let's say off principle, y'all had something fucked up here and I call you out on it in like a, maybe a, harsh tone, oh, he's an asshole. It's like, am I or did you fuck up?
You're saying things and you have a line that references to that. Like, you're saying the things that people don't want to say.
Right.
But then you're the jerk.
Right.
Right?
Jerk off and douchebag is pretty synonymous, I feel like.
I think I'm an expert on this.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
Asshole is separate from all these because you can be the nicest guy in the world.
And you're an asshole.
And be an asshole. Yeah. Right? I'm a smart ass. So sometimes I get called an asshole, but I'm not actual dick.
Right.
Scumbag is something like a little sketchy.
Scumbag, you steal.
You're a car salesman.
Yeah, scumbag, you steal.
You're a used car salesman. Your shit, like pulling off the lot, your shit don't work.
Your parents, like, don't hang out with that kid.
You know what the 2020 version of scumbag is? Slime. That's the whole slime shit. It's scumbag. A slime is a scumbag. When you slime somebody, it's like you're doing slime shit, scumbag shit. Asshole is just like you said, you might just be honest with an abrasive tone. Sounds a little familiar. And you're an asshole.
Douchebag, think frat boy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You think, you know, just something about your energy, like that's just a little off.
Douchebag is you're like packing the dip and you're throwing it in your fucking And you're like spitting and saying, so, douchebag is
You pull up with your like your shirt open too crazy. Like, it's just something about
it. I think everyone's probably had a douchebag moment. Your fate is. You have
Put it like this. Somebody calls me an asshole. I'll be like, I'll dispute it or I'll take it. I will get offended if somebody calls me a douchebag.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what?
But you know, the sad thing is you can't control people's perception of you. Someone in life would have to say, I met him and he was a douchebag. Maybe when you were in 10th grade. Someone. At least one person would be like, yeah, he's a douchebag. It's just different when you're famous because there's way more people that'll call you.
Oh my God. Amplified.
Especially when you are a douchebag.
Oh my God. And then jerk off.
It's like a fuck up.
Right? Jerk off is like when someone, you know what? The first thing that comes to my mind with jerk off is like, someone cuts you off.
I was about to say,
you're a jerk off.
That, I think that's the lowest on the totem pole.
No, scumbag.
No. I don't mean in terms of like the dark. No, I mean in terms of like the lightest weight.
It's the best.
Oh, right? Like, if you call someone a jerk off, it's like they cut you off.
No, you're
like, scumbag is the darkest. That's when you're really going all the way.
I think the lightest.
I think asshole is the lightest.
It's almost
the most commonly used.
It's almost complimentary. It's like a little bit of are you turned on?
Likable asshole.
You're an asshole.
Right? A lot of people like that's a term like, yo, he's a lovable asshole.
Yeah,
like,
I think asshole's late. I think asshole's late.
You don't want to be a scumbag.
No, we all agree that you don't want to be a scumbag. I'm not saying that anybody.
Scumbag
wants
is
to be
somebody
a scumbag.
Like fucking buys weed from you.
Yeah.
And they buy whatever they buy and they get back and it's just half of it. And it's just not, it's oregano. Like, this guy's a scumbag.
Wait, you're quiet, which makes me think that you use these words interchangeably.
Yeah.
No.
That's what that sounds.
No, so scumbag, like I said, scumbag, you don't use soap.
Yeah, you really
are. Interesting.
Like doubling down on this.
Like, you don't own a razor.
Yeah, so just, I see you associate scumbag with dirt.
That's just
fair
foul.
Scum.
You're just foul. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a foul person.
I know what you mean. Know? It's those people in the movies that they don't shower. Mm. They're seedy. They work at the club. They just fucking scamming you and shit. Yeah. Let's come back.
All right. Let's get back to rapping. So I was going to ask you about you giving us context into who you are as a rap fan, but I feel like you've already done that with your breakdown of like the time where you were listening to the Kendrick Lamar EP and Friday Night Lights and Drake's and all that stuff. But what was your entry point into hip hop?
G-Unit, Eminem. Mm. Yeah.
The first shit.
First shit. Yeah. Like, I remember being 9 with 50 coming down from the ceiling in the club video. And it was like 50, Eminem. Who else was like really in my face back then was Nelly. Hmm. Nelly and like Ja Rule and fucking
106 in Park ever.
Yeah, it was MTV. Very 106 in Park. 106. It was like, oh, I saw the video first a lot of the time. Because I'm not just watching TV. Yeah.
TRL 106.
TRL was huge for me. TRL and 106 in Park was the shit. Like AJ and Free to me are like icons. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I just like when there was still. It's fucked because a part of me is like, it's so good there's no more gatekeepers, but you realize that there still is. So what I realized is I like when the gatekeepers like were icons in their own right. Like AJ and Free were like staples. Mm. You know, and it was cool. It felt like an honor to, you know, 106 in Park. That shit was huge. I'll never forget when Kanye was on 106 in Park. This is one of my favorite Kanye moments ever. And
graduation.
I might be quoting this incorrectly, but he's like doing the whole interview and saying like nothing the whole time or like just agreeing. And then he just randomly stops. He's like, hold on. I'm the greatest producer and the greatest. And I was like, this is my hero. Like, it was just so awesome to me. You know how brazen you have to be to just do that? Like, I don't know. I just, if people had more of that and applied it to their own lifestyle, maybe, curtailed it a little bit, but still, it's like, it's hard.
Do you think that format is... I mean, it's dead, clearly, right? But they tried to reboot TRL, the
countdown. What they need to really bring back is Big Tigger.
Basement. 100%.
That works online.
Make these people rap. Make these people rap.
I guess Flex is trying to do his own version in the studio with the bars.
I think when you make it like that. It's. I feel like it's so easy. You know, it's like economics, where it's logos, pathos, and ethos. Hmm. One of them is, one of those logos, pathos, ethos, I forget which one, but one of them, it's about selling products or something like that. And one of them is you get a celebrity to endorse it. And that either falls into logos, pathos, or ethos. But if you want to make Rhapsody in the Basement huge again, you launch it and you just get like, now easier said than done, but get Jay to come back and get Eminem to come back. Done. And then it works. That's it. But you can't launch it with like...
But you think, I feel like the kids, their minds is just elsewhere.
Nah, it's fire for you see what Genius is doing with the one mic shit?
Yeah. Mm.
People love seeing you in the booth because it feels tangible, feels relatable. We can touch that, you know? If we get to really see you rap, that should ring off. In the internet era, Rhapsody in the Basement would ring off.
But you do speak about hip-hop essence, and a lot of these guys aren't really booth-minded, mic-minded.
No, but I think that's why it's cool. You kind of start really not weeding them out, but you start making it clear who's who and what's what. Like, nah, you can't even... Like, yeah, Flex does it, but, and that's an honor to be on Flex, but I feel like when you make a program out of it, and just, like, you make it a thing, like, a real thing. Like I said, you launch it. You don't even launch this shit until you get Jay and Eminem. Mm. Then it's a wrap, because then everyone will want to do it. Or Kanye, whoever the cultural handcuffed people are at the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoever's in the cultural stronghold, you just put them on there. It's hard.
You mentioned mic-minded. The interesting thing is, like, the kids want to be the biggest in the world, but they don't want to rap. But
it's so weird to me. It'll never make sense.
But the biggest rappers are always rappers. Know how to rap.
That's what I always say. You know how everyone, like, it's this very clear thing, like, the big three. They can all rap. I've always said, like, the day somebody who can't rap is outselling Drake, then I'll shut up.
So I don't know if you remember, we talked about this with DaBaby, and I would like your opinion on that.
DaBaby can rap.
Yes, he can.
Yes.
DaBaby can rap.
So the Trinity, right? Drake, Kendrick, Cole.
Yeah.
They're all in their 30s.
Yeah.
We are heading towards an inevitable shift. I don't know when.
For sure.
At some point, somebody's going to have to come in and become one of those three.
Well, I'll tell you, the inevitable, the pioneer of the shift is Travis Scott.
Yep.
Mm. We talked about that.
The pioneer of the shift, because Travis, if time isn't taken, Travis will outsell one of the big three. Because the fan base is just that huge.
Well, in that case, it's what you're describing, right? For the first time in history, we'll have
the
main guy who doesn't rap at an elite level. Travis does rap.
He can rap.
He can rap, but that's not
but it's not
his
like,
thing.
Yeah. No, it's not, you're not listening to Travis do a four-minute funk flex freestyle. Right. It's just, you know, but Travis makes fire music.
So that means after like four decades or however, whatever.
But you know what? That's why it's on people like, I feel like J.I.D. and Cordae and me. I feel like that it's about people who still care about, song number two on my album, it's a boy wanted to be soul sample or whatever. There's no melody. The hook has a little twang to it, but it's barred up. That's like a 32-bar verse or some shit, man. And it's Ross rapping. That's important. That's why, like, shout out to the hat. But but I love that that's in Rap Caviar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because when you really look at, like, the name of Rap Caviar, it's supposed to be the caviar of
and the rap.
Yeah, it's not supposed, like, I shouldn't go into Rap Caviar and hear no bars. Like, nobody rapping.
Do you consider that music hip-hop?
It's absolutely hip-hop. It's just, it's a brand of it. It's a brand of it, and it's an, you know how people tried to say, someone was saying, I don't know who, maybe it was Uzi or someone, but I agree with them. I don't think it was Uzi, but how, you know how rock has punk rock and alternative rock and... Hip hop has grown so much that I don't know if you can just blanket statement it anymore and just say it all has to be this.
Yeah.
I think there's party rap. I think there's, you know, which is like Uzi's turn. I love Futsal Shuffle. Like I love that. I love, you know, Travis Scott gets people turned. You know, there's party rap, but then there's also like there's bars, you know. And then you have that beautiful blend where it's great songs with bars, which when you do both things great, that's when you're Drake, Cole, and Kendrick. Yeah. When you can make Humble, which you can play at a party, but he's rapping. Too much is one-sided, where you're either just, we don't give a fuck what you're saying, it's just turn, put it on, let's get drunk to it. Or too much of it is just, I can never play this around anyone because it's just straight bar heavy, which I'll listen to like in the confines of my car and the headphones. Right. That perfect balance and medium to me is Drake, Kendrick, Cole. And I feel like I fill that void too. I feel like I make great music that has bars on it too. Guess what? You could throw on at a kickback. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna disrupt the vibes. It's still, you know, up tempo enough, but it's like it's bars on it though, you know?
I think people are distracted from how much bars are a part of your music because of other elements, whether it be sometimes the production, the way you balance melodies. So like today,
I do a lot of melody,
right?
Yeah.
So which I would say
that's
is
why
an
I can
unfair
play in that
critique.
Middle.
Yeah. Which I would say is unfair critique because even Cole to this point and Kendrick, everybody's doing melody.
Yeah, but
now.
You gotta
everybody
understand. You know
both.
How we were just talking about like how do you not model yourself after Jay-Z?
Yeah.
I do model a lot of my shit off of. I feel like Drake is the most successful. See how Drake just has those number ones. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be Kobe. I'm trying to pass that, and I'm not stupid. I know, like, good luck trying to pass Drake and you don't do melodies. Mm. Like, I'm trying to pass Drake in the... Drake is my favorite, you feel me? So this is all just, like, out of love, but that's the goal for me. That's the standard. And I know that in order to do that, you have to have crazy hooks and songs that, like, women fuck with, which it all works out for me because I'm just being mean. It just works out that way, but I just don't know any rapper. I really don't. And I say this with absolute confidence, but no rapper besides Drake can give you Losing Control, and guess what? None. Let alone make the beat for Losing Control. For real. But like, why is that? Like, me, like, bragging about, like, you brag about the Gucci store. You're lame. You feel me? Like, I brag about the craft.
Yeah.
I brag about the craft. That's what hip-hop's supposed to be about. You know? But I think that's why I make the music I make, because I've noticed that, first of all, that was just the music I like to make, is step one. And then I'm glad that, I'm right, because Drake's the biggest. It's true.
It is.
I think it even goes back.
Drake has the best hooks in the game and can rap. When you do that, you give yourself the best shot. I know I'm giving myself the best shot. Because once this keeps popping, you know, people saw it with Best on Earth. It was like, damn, the hook is crazy. But Russ still rapped and got his raps off. It wasn't bullshit. It was a real verse. Now it's about the content it's about. But it's still bars. It's still a real rap verse. But it's like, I know that the game that I'm playing is a game that it's just a matter of time before the shit goes huge. Because I just have such confidence in my songwriting abilities and my rap abilities that at some point, you're just going to keep catching these like great blends where it's like the hook is great and the bars are great. I don't know, bro. Like, we can't just keep fucking ignoring. That's why, like, I love seeing the response on Guess What? Because, like, yeah. Like, but I can also do Nighttime. It's just a fucking interlude of me making the beat just fucking singing on some Frank Ocean shit. Like, no one's doing that. And it just takes time.
That's my favorite song.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I'm familiar with your stuff from fairly early on, SoundCloud days. But Guess What is the first time I remember you hitting a pocket where, like, there's a certain pocket that you hit on that song.
No, that whole album, you know why? When I did that song, I called all my friends over and was like, yo, nah. Because Shake the Snow Globe was the first album I recorded in one place. Mm. Everything else was on the road, running around, wasn't stable. This is like in my studio, right? That I had, it's a $250,000 studio in my basement. So it's also on the best equipment I've ever had. Mm. Not that that really matters too much at all, but you know, I get to be in the confines of my studio and not really worry about how many takes I'm doing or whatever. And I get to kind of just black out, zone out, smoke something, whatever. And this whole album, I feel like I'm in a pocket. That's why it's just sliding a little bit different. But yeah, Guess What was one of those ones where I was like, nah. That's why I was like, I'm sending this to Ross. Cause even though I wrote the verse first, because usually I want to write my verse last. Mm-hmm. You can't kill me on my shit, but I felt so good about it. I was like, nah, this is my best verse I've ever written. That's how I felt about it. I was like, this is my best verse. So if you do better than this, then fuck it. Like,
a lot of quotables.
Yeah, I love that verse.
There's going to be a lot of Instagram captions. I hate that that's become like the barometer.
No, but that's
my car's name is Percival.
Yeah, that's
always. I was thinking, how many of your fans you think got the Percival reference?
Yeah, that's real. My poison name is really Percival. Yeah, my McLaren's name is Clarence, but for real. But nah, it's. It's like British and royal for some reason. I don't know why. I look at, like, cause it's a black horse. It's all blacked out.
I thought Percival, isn't there like a famous horse
Doesn't
named Percival?
Doesn't Percival make you feel
royal,
regal. Distinguished, yeah.
regal?
Nah, but I loved and I love Guess What. That's why I was like, I put it at number two on the album because I was like, I don't think it's not Best on Earth. It's not some huge hook. Mm. But I was like, I just want people to hear this because it's my best, like, I was like, man, if people like rap music and you hear Guess What and you don't fuck with it, I think you're hating.
Was that song on album? It's Best on Earth, technically?
Yeah, it's a bonus, yeah.
Okay.
But I was like, if you like rap music and you hear Guess What, I just think you're hating. It's a fire. Nah, but for real, because it's like, I can objectively hear that and be like, nah, like, it's a hard ass. You can't say Russ, your beat is a hard ass boy wannabe. Watch your tone. You feel me? The raps are fucking crazy. Like, I'm rapping for real, for mad long. You know
Next
what I'm
to Ross.
Next to Ross, and held my own. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's just my favorite rap song I've made by a long shot.
That's dope.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of maybe giving us a body of work that's maybe shorter and it's like more focused on the rap?
That's what I was doing with this one. That's why I made it 12. There's two on the flip side, but I know there's like that patch in the middle, but there's always going to still be melody. But yeah, I mean, like, I love the bars, you feel me? So there's always a part of me that like wants to really just do 8 songs and it's all raps, you know? But I still also love making songs like Nighttime. I still love making Losing Controls. So I think the dilemma, it's similar to what Drake talked about in his Rap Radar, where you're trying to satisfy both, you know, both sides. But I am trying to make, you know, and I feel like Shake the Snow Globe for me, it's the first time I've put out where I've gotten responses of like, oh no, this is your classic. I never got that before. And I felt like that too. It's just cohesive. Mm-hmm. It's very solid in the pocket in it. It's just, I feel like skill level from the first album to the second one, I didn't get much better. I just made more good songs. Mm-hmm. at like relatively the same skill level, maybe a little bit, but it's all like everything on the second album could have been on the first one. You would have been like, you made them around the same time. This one sounds like, I don't know what you did, bro, but like Nighttime would have never been on the first two albums. I couldn't have even made that. Like, guess what? There's just a pocket I found in my voice that I had to record for that long. I had to stay in the gym for that long. So I just feel like it's my best body of work for sure. For sure.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm trying to really, like I said, the reason why I put that at number two, because I was like, nah, I'm about to let people know, you know, like if you think it's, haha, you saying, nah.
Right.
I really rap. That's what I really like to do for real. But what I want to do is just start fucking barring up with people. Like, I already hit Benny because Benny lives in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, pull up. Let's rap for 4 minutes. Put it out.
Yeah.
Like Jadakiss, I just saw him mention me in some clip where he's like, Russ is one of my favorite new lyricists.
That's fire.
I'm like, bro, I'm trying to put together me, Benny, and Jadakiss. 6 minutes, all bars, and I'm slaughtering. I'm going nuts, for sure. For sure. I'm just going to go first. They're going to send the verse, I'll change mine.
Wait, did you actually tell Doja Cat?
Yes. Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah, those guys are amazing.
All right, give me the context. The line is what? I like my women built like Doja Cat. I told her that.
Well, because really the first, the like line before was...
Juicy.
Yeah. Memories over money, liquor over beer. If you can see it from the front, you know it's bigger in the rear, which is like a play on her song. Yeah, I mean, me and Doja Cat have communicated a couple of times. It's me showing love. Like, I think she's an amazing artist. She obviously looks amazing. Yeah, I think that's the context. I just like,
good context.
Like, yeah, you look amazing.
I was wondering about the setting, like what you saw, what you pulled up on.
No, I've never seen her. Like, we FaceTime before, we've talked, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think I talked to her like in Jordan on FaceTime sometimes. Like, fucking
Jordan.
Yeah, just some random shit. She's so fire, though. She's so talented. Yeah.
I guess I interpreted that line a little different because right after was, something about not holding back.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It's really just about, it was just a cool rap line. And her name sounds awesome in the song. And it was true. But it's just also like, ain't no holding back. Bitch, I'm lit. This is it. It's just kind of like, so what? Like, what are you going to be like? Okay, I won't fuck with you anymore. Like, nah, she wasn't like that. So it just doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Shoot your fucking, it's not even shooting your shot, but like, if you fuck with someone, whether it's musically, physically, tell them. What's the big deal? Like, big fucking deal. You're lit.
So, I don't know why I get the feeling that you don't embellish that much, that most of the boasts are, like, kind of on the nose of what's actually happening.
Meaning what?
Like, do you exaggerate at all in your lyrics? Or is everything you're saying is, like, that's actually happening?
Yo, you know what's fucking crazy? I had a line on my second album that I had to change like last minute because it was about some sort of car or something that I didn't have, but it just sounded cool. And my business manager was like, because at first I was like, bro, I just gotta buy the car because the rap, I rapped about it. I can't not have the car if I rapped about
and
it.
Your business manager said
he was like, that's insane, you don't have to do that. I was like, I'm just gonna change the line now. I couldn't do it. I really couldn't do it. I changed the line because it's just whack.
No, but that's a good point. And, you know, like, I hear a lot of these new artists, you know, the very first song, second song, they're pulling up to the club and something foreign.
Where's the room for growth after that? What do you do?
It's wild. And then, you know, it's record label money too at the same time.
Right. It's not even their money.
Or even before that, you know, like the little tech of
it does mean a lot to me to like, fuck it. I think he was just trying to incriminate himself. But.
Well, yeah, maybe that. He's also like, at least he came clean. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Right. He came clean.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. For me, I do take pride in like authenticity. And I know there's an element too where you can speak it into existence, but then I want that to be the clear. If I was going to do that, then I would want the song called Manifest, and I'm talking about a whole bunch of shit I want, but I'm not about to rap to you like, this is really how I'm coming, 8 Chainz, and it's like, you don't have 8 Chainz, like.
But you know what?
It just feels weird to me, I don't know.
But I
maybe I'm too literal.
But embellishing has just always been part of hip hop.
Yeah, but hip hop.
And accepted.
Hip hop now is underneath the microscope, so we know when you're lying.
Right, Designer had broads in Atlanta before he even visited there. Remember that?
What?
designer.
I have. Yeah, I but got maybe bras see, but that's okay. Maybe you had DMs. Yeah. If you got DMs of chicks in Atlanta, you can say I got bras in Atlanta.
Good point. You are very literal.
Yeah. No, but I feel like it's just become very like we can tell when you're lying.
Yeah.
Because realistically, 20 years ago, if you say you do this or wear that, we're only gonna know once we see you at a show.
Right.
So as long as at the show you got on to this or whatever, it doesn't matter. But I don't know. I just feel, you know, you don't want to fucking. I don't know. It's just like the worst in the world is to get exposed for some shit you didn't do. Like you're not living your raps. I gotta live my raps.
Wait, you mentioned earlier that we have to wait and see. But I feel like there was more to the plan that you were wanting or willing to share. So your three albums in now.
Yeah.
You're gonna keep feeding us with music.
I'm gonna keep putting out music?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
He's got this mysterious role.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep putting out music.
All right, I thought there was a timeline. I thought we were losing Russ soon or something.
Oh, because of like in an interview where I was like, two more albums and I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's beautiful that I said that because I was accurate at the time. That's how I felt. Yeah. I think the other sad thing with the media, not saying you're doing this, but I think the other sad thing with the media and fame is that they like to confine people to what they were, what they said, and they allow no room for growth. Mm. And it's really sad to me because I think everyone, I tweeted about it right before I pulled up here, because I think everyone, we can all like agree as a society that I hope you're not the same person. I hope you've grown since the past 2 years. I think like that's one of those like understood things that no one would disagree with. Like if you put up a poll amongst the world, it'd be 99% yes. But then it's like you get fans who are like, do the 2017 thing, bring back the old thing. It's like y'all are so, I understand y'all are just so removed from celebrities or artists that you think they're not real people. Mm. So you just assume that we're in here like pressing download on something and out pops a 2017 song. You think that we're just like absolutely choosing to not be on that. It's like, no, it's just I'm me now. You know, and you can't keep me in a prison of where you met me at. And you also need to understand that a lot of times your favorite songs from your favorite artists are a mirror for where you were at in your life. Mm. You know, a lot of people love Take Care more than If You're Reading This Is Too Late because of where they were at when Take Care dropped. Like I was saying, I love, like there's a reason why my Bible of songs going into recording was what they were. Warm Up, EP, So Far Gone, Marathon, Cudi, you know, and then obviously the 50s and before that, but it's because they dropped at the inception of me starting to try and record. Mm-hmm. So that is going to form my recording, you know, but it's like, I can't be mad that Kendrick has moved on to make what he's moved on to make. My favorite album is still EP. My favorite Cole project is still The Warm Up. You know, that doesn't mean that I can't be mad that they're not trying to do that again. That was fucking 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a crazy, like just 2 minute, 2.5 minute. I call them rant tracks. Me and all my homies call them rants where it's just bars. There's nothing. It's just bars and you're just snapping. I have some shit over Ill Mind song, Ill Mind beat, where I say something like, artists are martyrs. You want us to feel the pain so that we can make a song that makes y'all feel like you relate. At the cost of our mental health though, that's a sacrifice. You know, and it's just like, I learned that y'all just like, cause certain fans hit me up about this album. They were like, man, I like the like, Fonzoo. And I'm like, I was angry and depressed. I don't want like, no,
yeah.
I'm not giving y'all that. Like, that's nice that you're selfish and like, you're angry and depressed. So you want angry and depressed bars. But like, do you mind if I like be okay? You know, but a real supporter, fuck a fan or whatever, a real supporter would want you in the best place mentally and everything. And if that means that this is what the music is, then that's what it means. But I think the media and people in general need to stop holding people captive to their previous beliefs and thoughts and everything. Like, do you mind if I grow? Like,
yeah, that was Kevin Hart's argument.
Really? What did he say?
For the Oscars. Like, you know, he said, I've evolved from that.
You mean the tweet that he said?
Yeah, the tweet. You know, he got ring for his tweets about, you know, he said if his son was gay, you know, he beat him upside the head. But that was like before fame Kevin Hart.
Right.
And then now he's like, oh, man, I associate with gay. I got a gay person on my team. Like, this, I'm not even not even on that level anymore.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why? Like, it's just what it is that there is a certain level of what I think. There's a certain level of disdain and jealousy and bitterness towards celebrities. Because low-key, a lot of people in the general public are kind of like, fuck you. Mm. You know? You're fucking too successful. Can you hurry up and crash? And so the second you step out of line or they catch something on you, it's like, finally, fuck this guy, get him out of here. It's like, damn, bro, you pull up your old tweets. Let me see some. You pull up your old tweets since you walk on water, you pull up your old tweets.
We can't relate to being celebrities, obviously, but I think there's something to be said about people just get off negativity.
Yeah.
Just have like a behind the scenes conversation with somebody telling a story about you or whatever. You'll pick up where they have the negative spin or where they reach to make it seem like it's negative. Or when somebody's telling a joke but would rather be inaccurate and poke fun.
Right.
Because, oh, that's funny.
That's the thing to
do. Say it the way it happened. Mm-hmm. It's just like that.
No, it's sad. It's sad, but it is what it is. It comes with the dinner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just comes with the dinner. You know, and I just think the way to kind of supersede that and go around it is, honestly, you can't even really go around it. You have to go through it to get through it. And it's just time. It's time. At the end of the day, I don't know if you could really hold shit against Jay-Z from when he was 22 because of how much he's done. Now, if you've only been hot for 1 year and you're already, you know, and you were already saying crazy shit and you haven't done much, then people don't have, it's like credit history. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't have enough history for us to trust that you're going to make these payments of solid shit. You know, like that's what it is really. And so I know with me, it's just literally like, look, I get it. Certain interviews I've done, certain things I've said might have been poor timing in people's eyes, might have been said, the how of it might have been harsh. And some of it came off like a fucking, like a douchebag, like a fucking, but it's really, you know, like I said, it was headhunting. It was from a pure place though. It was pure intention. And that was me then. And I feel like I've grown now. And I feel like this album is a real significant symbol of growth and maturity and settling in. And I just know that's gonna take me 3 more. And then people are gonna be like, I don't know, bro. He's like on a 6th album, it's still hard. He's got 58 plaques and he's done hip hop right. Cause the beautiful thing about hip hop is hip hop doesn't care about numbers, which is why Nipsey has the impact he does.
Yeah.
Nipsey never had a fucking top 10 Billboard, whatever, but Nipsey has more impact than a lot of people who have had top 10 Billboard, you know, songs. So it's about what you leave behind and about how, and about the impact. And that's why I'm very careful. And I do take pride in the messages that I try and give in interviews and Twitter and the book that I put out, because I feel like at the end of the day, you don't have to like my music. And I got, you know, I get a lot of people after these interviews that say, you know what? I don't like your music, but I like what you said. And almost that means more to me, because I understand if you don't like, I don't listen to Tyler, the Creator, but I think Tyler, the Creator is an amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that shouldn't be offensive though. Like, if I don't listen to your music, that's not like, oh, I don't fuck with you. Right. It's like, no, actually on a deeper level, I fuck with you even more than the music. Like, I fuck with you owning your shit, being yourself in front of the world. You know what I'm saying? Creating the brand. Like, just because, like, the noises you choose to make in a studio, I don't listen to. Big deal. Who cares? So I understand if people are like, nah, I just can't rock with the music, but I fuck with you. That's why I'm going to be around forever, because I'm not getting people to just fuck with the music. I'm getting people to fuck with me. And I'm going to always be me. So that's why, and I think that that's what someone like Tyler has shown. And so on like Nipsey show, like you didn't even have to like Nipsey's music to respect it. You didn't even have to know it to respect it. You felt the respect from around the world, you know? And I don't know, that's what I'm on. I'm creating an ecosystem of people who fuck with me and who respect the mentality, and people who are open to receive the type of information I'm trying to give them. And I think it's just creating a really hardcore, dedicated fan base that isn't going anywhere, because they'll be like, you know what? I may have not liked that song you just dropped. Or, yo, you got too much ass in this video, but shit, you saved my life. Yeah. So I'm going to just be here forever. It's just going to take some time for people to come around, but they're starting to come around. And I get it. I used to fight that. I used to internally be like, what the fuck? Y'all are fucking tripping and I'm the illest. I still feel like that. But I just know me screaming it at you is not going to change it. So... come around when you come around. I'll be here doing what I'm doing. And if anything, the longer it takes, the better. That's how I start to think too. I'm like, man, too many people want it right away. I love that, like, I love that, you know, I'm in New York at this hotel at the bar, right? Young waitress, probably 27, 28. And I'm sitting there with like me, Jonathan Mannion, and just my manager and one of my friends. And the waitress, like, she knows Jonathan. She doesn't know who I am. And Jonathan's like, oh, you don't know who this is? And she's like, nah. I'm like, this is the best shit ever. This is the best shit ever. You're telling me, like, I can live this much of a successful life and still have this much room to grow where, like, it's not Drake. It's not even Kendrick. It's not even all these people where, like, they can't just go out and sit at a fucking bar. I'm like, this is great because, you know, Snoop, I'm pretty sure... my friend could attest to it and have the numbers better, but I'm pretty sure he caught his biggest song on his seventh album, Sensual Seduction, or whatever, his first number one, or whatever the fuck.
Mm. Drop It Like It's Hot.
Drop It Like It's Hot.
That's what I mean. Drop It Like It's Hot. Yeah. You know, if I don't catch my God's Plan to album 8, oh, it's over for people. I don't want, like, I don't want my God's Plan album 1, 2, or 3.
You making a good point, because Drake, the narrative after a while, like when Hotline Bling barely missed number one, One Dance was his first one as a solo artist. Yeah. Jay-Z and Paris State of Mind was his first number one.
That's what I'm saying. That's what ideally, I don't catch my. Now this is gonna sound crazy to rappers like competing, but ideally, I don't catch my first number one album till 3 albums from now. Mm. Because all that means is that you're telling me I get to be my biggest later on.
It's like Tyler.
That's longevity.
Yeah.
Now, if it happens beforehand, cool. But I'm not in a race to, like, hurry up and give me everything. Give me the number one. Give me the Grammys. Give me the this. Nah. I'm going to take my time with this because I'm running the marathon. I'm playing a long game. You know, longer it takes, the better. Yeah. The longer it takes for you to get on, the longer you're here. So.
Something that's also kind of in common with a lot of the people we've been talking about. Do you feel like it's important for you to develop another generation of acts that you're either producing for, that you're bringing up under you, not only from the standpoint of the principles that you're passing 100%. On, but creatively?
100%. I always just wanted to make sure when I would see artists do that, I respected it, but I always wanted to make sure that I was solidified first, you know?
Right.
I want to make sure that, like, I'm super good because I know that that's a whole thing. And I know that the way I am, I want to be hands-on. Mm. And I don't want to be hands-on with someone and splitting careers and all. Like, I want to be kind of on my one album every 2 years wave where I can take that time to, like, yo, let's just go to Hawaii for a month. I'm not doing shit. Like, let's make your album crazy. You know, but I don't want to be, like, full-fledged headhunting mode, trying to tour while having an artist. That's when you get a disgruntled artist, like, yo, you don't even pay attention. Like, it's like, yeah, because you signed to a fucking 27-year-old who's still trying to get himself right. I gotta help myself before I can help you. Totally. You know, so I'm gonna definitely do that. That was always the plan. Yeah,
that's smart though, because, like, to your point, like, a lot of you always hear it, right? Don't sign to another artist because they'll never let you be bigger than them.
Oh, I'm like, I think that's the illest shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, signing an artist who's bigger than you, I think is the coolest shit. That's why I think Lil Wayne is just the GOAT.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne signed Drake and Nicki. You can never say shit to Wayne. Are you out of your fucking mind?
That's real.
That's true.
Hold too.
Jay-Z has who? Rihanna and Ye and Cole. Oh, man. I mean, God.
Jay Electronica too.
Like, well, oh, my God.
That's sad. It's sad because of how ill he is. Yeah. It's just like, damn, bro. Like, it's gonna sound cliche, but I just remember 2010, or was it 2009?
2009.
Exhibit C.
Exhibit C. Yeah.
I'm a, like, yeah. That's still, you oh know the you know that meme where it's like, if someone puts a gun to your head and tells you to rap a song word for word, it's Exhibit C.
You're Exhibit C?
Oh, wow.
Wow,
God
really?
Damn.
That's incredible.
I want to die.
Nah, bro. Exhibit C, don't quote me on it now, but bro, like, even right now, I probably would fuck up like 5 to 7 yeah. words, but nah, bro, like, that's.
I'm rapping Happy Birthday.
That's fair.
I saw someone say Around the World by Daft Punk. It's got three words in it.
Mine was a y'all saying happy birthday. Mine was a sheer flex. Now y'all making me look like ass. I thought we were trying to compete.
Exhibit, I mean, you went super complex. Yeah. Exhibit C.
I don't know what
it's
like.
Not easy to recite.
Yeah, yeah, but his flow was so digestible.
Crazy. It was nasty.
When I was sleeping on the train, sleeping on Mezzarol Ave out in the rain, without even a slice of pieces to my name, too proud to beg for change, mastering the pain. Come on, bro.
Wait.
I used to get dizzy spells
a.
here, a little rain.
Yeah, exactly. Exhibit C confused.
Confused for a minute.
Huh?
Wait. C is the
C is the one.
The
C
first
is,
one.
No.
No.
It's the second one.
No.
Yeah. I like
C is the
you like
one.
Exhibit A more than Exhibit C? Yep.
C is tip hit me up on a text. What you waiting on? Diddy send a text every hour on the Daze. Where
they're
you
they're
gonna
both lethal.
That? Come on.
Oh,
bro.
But that's your first
trend. Exhibit C to me is just like.
Me?
Yeah.
When he did the.
What do you mean?
Hardest part of that song is when he does that fucking breakdown of they call me Jay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my
Jay
God.
Jay like Ramadan.
Ridiculous.
Jay like Hanukkah. Rasulullah Subhanahu wa ta'ala through your monitor. Craziest. My Uzi still weighs a ton. Check the. Oh, come on, bro.
I remember being so hungover on New Year's Day listening to that, just being like, this is the greatest thing that anyone's ever done.
It's insane.
The album exists.
I remember opening for Jay Electronica, and you remember the CMJ showcases in New York?
Of course.
So, 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Santos, Party House, whatever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I opened for Jay Electronica. And I can't lie and say, like, I know mad Jay Electronica songs, but Exhibit C is my shit. Yeah. So I remember after I opened for
Jay
Electronica,
now I'm in
the crowd. And I remember, like, he comes on stage, he's like, this is for, some along the lines, like, this is for the people who know more than just Exhibit C. I'm like, I was like, the fuck?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's why I met Elliot Wilson for the first time. He probably didn't even remember that. But I went up to him. I was like, bro, you're amazing. Da-da-da-da. I probably sent you 87 emails. But yeah, that shit was tight.
You keep receipts, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. That's all I got.
All right. That was great.